T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That may be circulating through your home's air. Go to our website at CHOATESHVAC.com to redeem a $50 off air duct cleaning coupon and call us today at 347-8086. That's 347-8086 to schedule your $60 fall furnace tune-up. And remember, Choates, let our family serve your family.
So we've been telling you about Jennifer Carstensen and the Live Love Group at RE/MAX Experts for a long time.
Not only is now a great time to sell your home, we have one more reason, as if you need another one, to let the Live Love Memphis Group sell yours.
Get this, they're now offering a 35-day guaranteed sold program.
It's their guarantee. The home is sold in 35 days or they'll buy it at a mutually agreed upon price. They're licensed in Tennessee and Mississippi.
So call them today, 901-410-8818, or email them at sold@livelovememphis.com. That's sold@livelovememphis.com.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. The Smile Center, it's Dr. Maddie Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients. And needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. That means pre-screening, temperature checks, air purifiers with HEPA filters everywhere, and a limited number of people in the waiting room and clinical areas. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients. And for those of you who've lost your dental coverage due to COVID-19, the Smile Center has insurance plans available for you and your family. If you have dental insurance, let me ask you this. Have you used all of your insurance benefits for 2020? If not, you should do that before the end of the year. And there's nobody better to do it with than the Smile Center. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101. And the phone number is 901-309-1333. It's the Smile Center, on the web, smilecentermemphis.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Parrish. I'm speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Dole's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day just as best you can.
Well, Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
I hope you enjoyed last night's vice presidential debate, much as I enjoyed it. Granted, it's not a presidential debate, and you don't have Donald Trump involved, but it still was interesting, at least from my perspective. And then we got a fly attacking the Vice President of the United States live on television. That reminded me of the time I was attacked by a fly live on television. So we had fun on Twitter. It was a worthwhile evening. Talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20, Will Brinson's going to join me, senior writer for CBS Sports, covers the NFL, host the Pick 6 podcast, which is a daily NFL podcast you can subscribe to anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. Will Brinson will join me in the next segment. I will ask him, what are we going to do with these COVID titans? Bennett, another positive test.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
What are we going to do with these COVID titans? Will Brinson will join me in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do 4 notable stories, 4:44, at which point I'll discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories, among them the ALCS and the NLCS could be set by the time we go to bed tonight. The Braves, Astros, Rays, and Dodgers are all just one win away from advancing to what amounts to the Final Four of the Major League Baseball playoffs. That means the Yankees are in an elimination game tonight in prime time. I'll get you updated on Major League Baseball around 4:44. Bryson DeChambeau, in his first competitive round since winning the U.S. Open last month, picked up right where he left off, shot a 9-under-62 earlier today at the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open in Las Vegas. So he's atop the leaderboard, HV3 right behind him. I'll tell you more about it a little later on this hour. Saturday Night Live is having to replace its scheduled musical guest for this weekend because the dude was out acting a fool in Tuscaloosa last weekend in a way that put him at real risk of COVID-19. So that's a blown opportunity for Morgan Wallen. Tell you about him just before 5 o'clock. And congrats to Jonathan Lawson, the Wooddale High senior. As expected, committed to Oregon last night, so he's going to join his brother Chandler in the Pacific time zone. That makes a total of 4 Lawson brothers who are going to end up playing high major basketball in either the Pac-12 or the Big 12. Remarkable stuff. We'll get into it during 4 notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with last night's vice presidential debate that was dominated by a fly. Obviously, a VP debate won't get the same numbers as a presidential debate, and Harris Pence can't draw the audience that Trump anybody can draw. But I still thought it was a fun night on television and on social media. All the Kamala memes, folks getting their jokes off, and then Mike Pence got attacked by a fly. Bennett, did you think that fly was ever leaving the vice president's head? I thought he was stuck there for good.
I thought that the fly, like, died on his head.
I thought it was over with for that fly.
Yeah, and I was, you know, concerned. It's one of those things where it's like, regardless of what you think about the man, like, you're just, you're wanting, what was, who was the moderator's name?
Susan. This one.
And I'm just sitting there like, Susan, you got to say something. Like, you have to tell, the fly has been there for 5 minutes. Like, you have to say something to him, Susan.
She didn't? It was
like, Kamala's not going to tell him. She's going to let the fly sit there. But, like, Susan, you got to say something.
Do you have to walk up there and say, Vice President, please put your mask on so that I can come up there and get this fly off your head?
No, I think you just do, like, the – you know how, like, when somebody, like, has a little food on their mouth or something like that, you kind of just do the, like, you point your finger at your mouth.
Or when they got a bug.
Yeah, they got a bug, like, hey. Yeah.
Do you tell people when they have a bug?
I don't know.
I always find it uncomfortable. I like try to leave it alone.
That's interesting. That's actually an interesting dilemma because I don't know about a bug.
Food on the face, I will tell. I'll be like, hey, you know, you got some spaghetti sauce on your lip.
Or
anything like that.
If you got a bug, you're kind of a nerd.
You tell somebody when they have a bug? I don't think I do.
I don't think I do either. I think it's a completely different situation.
Now, if it's somebody I'm comfortable with, like if it were my wife, I'd be like, listen, you gotta do something with your nose.
Uh-huh.
Or if it were one of my boys, I'd be like, you gotta do something.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I were in a random, like, let's just say back when we used to go places and you might meet people,
mm-hmm.
one of those situations, somebody'd be like, Gary, I want you to meet so and so, and so and so had a bug. I think I just keep quiet about it.
I think so, too.
I don't think I bring it up.
And I don't know, like, I would feel guilty about it, but it makes it really awkward on me.
It makes it awkward for me.
Yeah.
I find it awkward for me if I put somebody else in an awkward situation. And I feel like if the first thing I do when I meet somebody is be like, oh, hi, my name's Gary. You got a bug you got to take care of.
Yeah.
It just makes the whole thing.
Because then they're just going to think of you as the guy that called them out for having a booger up their nose.
Or not even called them out, but like, why didn't I know I had a bug?
Yeah, it's awkward.
Why didn't somebody else tell me I had a bug before I met this new person? Like, why are you introducing me to somebody I've never met without first saying, oh, hey, fix your bug first?
Right.
Like, it's just the whole thing's bad.
Yeah.
So maybe Susan was just trying to avoid an awkward situation and just hope the fly would go away.
I mean, it was awkward between them two anyways. Yeah, who cares?
But
at
it
that
never
point.
Went away. It was not. No, it did. It felt like it was there forever.
Yeah.
And I immediately start thinking, about the time I was attacked by a fly on live television. It was much the same way.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't think we had the same audience that a vice presidential debate had, but it was during the NCAA tournament, so we had a larger than normal audience, I would assume. So the way it works, I'm sitting there in my little seat on the end, and I'm getting asked about, I couldn't possibly remember what it was. The video used to exist, but in the thing I tweeted last night, like, the video doesn't work.
Mm, I remember this, though.
But this is something that happened. CBS Sports did a whole post about it because the video was so, if you don't mind me saying, the video was amazing.
No, it was well done.
So I'm sitting there talking. I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's just pretend it was Kentucky and somebody, you know, Kentucky just won an NCAA tournament game and they shot 45% from 3-point range. And they're coming to me and there is this fly that feels like it's the biggest fly in the world. And it is just like swirling around me. Like I'm the vice president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's just swirling around my head. And on television, you're not real sure whether the camera is going to pick that up or not. Because it wasn't sitting on me as much as it was flying around me, just hovering around me. So I'm trying to talk and keeping my fingers crossed that this fly will just stay away from me. But it won't. So I'm talking something like, you know, De'Aaron Fox, you know, was 3 of 5 from 3-point range. He is a non-shooter in the scouting report. So if Kentucky is going to be able to get that from the perimeter, from its non-shooting point guard, that's when they become really tough to deal with. This whole time, this fly is just buzzing around my head to the point I can see it and I can hear it. It's loud. It's at least loud to me. I'm not sure it's being picked up by my mic, but it's loud to me and it's distracting. But I still got stuff to say. So I'm talking, and while I'm talking, I attempt to grab the fly, not swat it away. Like, off camera, grab it. Because if I try to swat it, that looks like I'm being a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
But out of the frame of the shot, I feel like it's right there right now. If I can grab it, then maybe I can toss it, and that fly will be away from me enough so I can focus on what I'm actually doing. Now, keep in mind, I never break word. I am still talking in the same rhythm that I talk in. I'm still looking right at the camera, and yet I'm getting ready to attack this fly. I'm juggling a lot of things. When you're on TV, you got to know what camera you're looking at. You usually got a producer in your ear. You need to be making coherent points or at least being interesting. And I'm plotting my attack on this fly, all in real time, juggling a lot of stuff. So I reach up, and I don't even remember to this day why I thought I could do what it is I was planning to do. But in my head, I committed to a plan. And I reached out of the shot of the frame, I believe, and when I attempted to grab this fly with two fingers, I actually grabbed it.
Mm-hmm. It was like Mr. Miyagi.
It was a lot like Mr. Miyagi. I mean, did he use chopsticks?
Yeah.
Right. But I didn't use chopsticks. I didn't have them. You know, I don't keep chopsticks at the desk with me unless we were having sushi, and we weren't that night. I didn't have any chopsticks. I just had my thumb and the finger next to the thumb. Is that the pointer finger? And my
yes.
pointer finger and my thumb. And I reached up there, and I grabbed this fly, and I caught it. And I tossed it. Like, what I had imagined in my head actually materialized. It worked exactly as I planned, against all odds. And so I keep talking. I catch this fly, toss this fly, keep talking in my thought. And I don't remember exactly what happened, but I was just going to let it go. And then somebody else at the desk was like, did you just catch a fly? And I'm like, did you see me just catch that fly? Was that amazing? I never broke my train of thought. I caught a fly with my fingers, tossed it into the other studio. It was amazing. Like, I felt accomplished. Like, you ever do something where you actually amaze yourself? Like, you're surprised. Like, oh, wow, I can't believe I did that. Like, last Sunday, I was just off the green, number 3 at Southwind, and I've got basically a flop shot over a gigantic bush that then has to land on the green. Like, there's no way this is going to work out. But I'm like, whatever. Like, I'm just out here goofing around. Yeah. I might as well try to do it. And I actually did it. Like flopped it over the bush, landed it just off the green. It rolled to within a foot. And I was genuinely amazed with myself. Like, how did that just happen? Because it looked Like, I swear to God, if you'd have taken 10 pros and put them back there with where I was, none of them would have had a shot as good as the shot I just did. It was I amazed myself. Mm-hmm. Similarly, when I caught this fly that night in studio, I amazed myself. So I understood what Mike Pence was going through. Like he had to feel that on his head. You feel that on your head, don't you?
Man, I don't know if he felt
Unless he's
that.
Got so much hairspray and other stuff going on.
I think he would have. Now the thing is, he's got his hair so nicely done that if he swats at it, he's probably going to mess it up.
Do you think his hair moves?
No.
I don't think his hair's ever moved.
No.
Even when he washes it, I think it just looks like that all the time.
No, it looks like it's glued on.
It looks glued on. Like, it might not be real. I assume that it is real. I take the man at his word.
Yeah, it's real.
At least when it comes to his hair. At least when it comes to his hair. Other stuff, maybe not. But to his hair, I take him at his word. I don't think that hair moves.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because I don't think he felt it because, like I said, that's like it's like a shield on his head. I mean,
he's got a shield on his head.
Yeah, so he might not have felt it.
A football player from the 1930s.
Right, but if you do feel it like, and you're him, I don't know if you can swat it because you're going to mess that hair up. It's going to look like that the rest of the debate, and they got the camera like right on top. I mean, it's right in your face, close up.
It's a problem. I felt bad for him. Like, Kamala kept telling him, like, listen, I'm talking right now, MF-er, and then he's got a fly on his head. It was rough from that perspective. Like, he had a lot to deal with last night.
He did.
So the fly ends up dominating the debate. What did you think of the debate other than that?
I don't feel like I got a lot out of it as far as just their position on things. Not necessarily. I mean, I think they both said what you thought they might say in response to and not necessarily questions because neither of them really answered the direct questions given to them. But as far as like the talking points and the topics, I think pretty much what each said was what you expected.
That was the frustrating part for me is that the moderator, Susan Page, she would ask what I thought were reasonable, pointed, appropriate questions of each of them. And if they didn't want to answer, they just didn't have to answer. Like, that seems not right. And I mean, let me be clear, both sides.
Agreed.
Mike Pence avoided questions more than Kamala Harris did, but they both did. She did as well. In fact, they both avoided the same question. She asked them both, like, one of you is going to be the vice president to the oldest elected president in the history of our country. Have you discussed a transition of power plan with Donald Trump, Mr. Vice President, or with Joe Biden, Senator Harris, and neither one of them answered the question. Again, I think Pence did it more than Kamala Harris did, but it seems ridiculous that if you don't want to answer the question, you don't have to answer the question. Like, I wish, and again, I understand that the job of a moderator in one of these debates is certainly more difficult than you would think it would be. But I don't know why at one point, if you're Susan Page or anybody else, when they so clearly just ignore your question, you don't go and say, okay, that's great, but here's the question.
Yep, I totally agree.
A yes or no will be fine. Like, do you believe climate change is man-made? And then Vice President Pence just talks all around, doesn't even address it in any real way. Once he's done talking, say, okay, the question was, do you believe climate change is man-made? If you just want to answer with a yes or no, that's fine. Like, I feel like you should go back and make them either answer the question or they at least have to ignore your second attempt, a very pointed attempt to get them to answer the question. Mm-hmm. So that was a little frustrating, again, on both sides. Like, hey, she's asking reasonable questions. Answer the question. Do you want to stack the courts? Answer the question. Like, let's hear it.
Yeah.
But once Pence wasn't going to answer questions, I guess Kamala Harris just said she don't have to answer questions. Suddenly you get nobody answering questions. They're just talking about whatever they want to talk about. So that was a little frustrating. As for who won, I have no idea. And here's the thing. I don't even think you can, in a time where we used to watch debates and go, well, who won? I just think those were different times. Like, we're so divided right now as a country that the truth is, if you are more willing to believe the things that Vice President Pence is saying, then you think he won the debate last night. And if you're more willing to believe the things that Senator Harris is saying last night, then you probably think she won the debate last night. Like, I think it really does break along those lines. Like, one of them, because again, as a country, at least in my lifetime, we've never been more divided than we are right now. Like, Six dudes just got arrested in Michigan. They're going to try to kidnap the governor.
Dude.
Like, what are we doing?
What a story.
Like, it's just the whole, our country's insane right now. So I don't think you can reasonably sit there and go, who won the debate? Like, I think if you're ready to go vote for President Trump and Vice President Pence, you probably think Vice President Pence did a nice job last night and won the debate. And if you're ready to go vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, you probably think, ooh, Kamala Harris handled herself really well last night. Like, in the end, it probably comes down to where was your state of mind before that debate even started? And either way, I don't think it makes any difference whatsoever at the ballot box. Like, there is nothing you saw last night, I don't think, that's going to make you change your mind in terms of the way you're planning to vote in this election. And honestly, I don't think there's much that can happen in a Biden-Trump debate that could change it. Like, at this point, you are either so deep with President Trump that you'll vote for him no matter what, or you're not. Like, I really do think that's where we're at right now. You're either so, like, he could literally do nothing to lose your vote, or he could literally do nothing to gain your vote. Like, as we sit here on October 8th, that's probably where we are at for, I would assume, 95% of Americans. Like, if you're, I don't understand how anybody couldn't have their mind made up this election. I don't understand how anybody at this point couldn't have their mind made up one way or the other. Like, whatever way, it just seems clear. Like,
right,
you're picking between two very different things, and if you haven't figured out which one you're picking yet, again, that makes no sense to me. But whatever. Anyway, the fly was awesome. He attacked Vice President Pence and then, of course, became a meme that made Twitter fun last night. Even Joe Biden getting in on it with the Photoshop picture of him in a fly swatter. So fun night on television, fun night on social media, and perhaps we'll get two more presidential debates that will provide us with fun nights on television and fun nights on social media. We'll see. Will Brinson covers the NFL for CBS Sports. What is going on with these Tennessee Titans? They cannot stop having positive tests. Another one today. It puts this Bills-Titans game in real jeopardy. What's the latest? I'll talk to Will Brinson about it next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Zubin Mahinty.
Coming up Friday, Brady and the Bucs look for their fourth straight win while another Super Bowl MVP just tries to right the ship. Plus, we get you ready for game number 5 of the NBA Finals.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings, 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. Live on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, Tennessee, sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. $50 in free site credit to register and verify early, no deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in. And unlike other sportsbooks, once you win, FanDuel gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But right now, the right thing to do is to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out their fantastic app for yourself. Just be sure to sign up and register using promo code Calkins so they know we sent you. When you verify your account, you'll receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code Calkins to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Love getting prices that are lower than low on food that's fresher than fresh? Then shop at Kroger. We give you more ways to save on the fresh you love with tools like the Kroger app, where you can find personalized coupons on top of weekly sales, giving you prices that are lower than the everyday low. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Protect your loved ones from the flu this season by making a flu shot appointment for yourself and the people you care about most at Kroger.com/flu. Your people are our people.
Mold can be dangerous and lead to serious health issues. Do you suspect mold? Contact Mold Terminator today. Ask about their free assessment. Mold Terminator specializes in certified safe mold removal. Call 877-8855. 877-8855.
Morning.
How'd you get in my house?
Me? Through the air conditioning vent. It's dark in there.
Go away.
How about some Honey Nut Cheerios?
Cheerios. Do I look like a child to you?
Honey Nut Cheerios are tasty and can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet.
Mmm.
Did you just
No.
I'm pretty sure I heard a
It was my dryer.
You might want to get that thing checked out.
Have a change of heart. Honey Nut Cheerios. Learn more about Honey Nut Cheerios by picking up a box at your local store.
Whether class is in school, at home, or a little bit of both, school goes on.
And Staples has everything your student needs at amazing prices, from notebooks to sanitizer, laptops to project boards.
This week, Staples number 2 pencils, marbleized comp books, 2-pocket poly folders, and 24-pack Crayola crayons are only 50 cents each.
Shop in-store, pick up curbside, or order online.
School on, save on at Staples.
Ends 10-10, while supplies last. Limits vary online and in-store. Curbside available in most stores.
Microban 24 protects against Staphylococcus aureus and Enterobacter aerogenes bacteria, but does not provide 24-hour protection against viruses. Every time you touch a surface, you leave behind bacteria. To keep surfaces sanitized all day, use Microban 24. Spray on hard surfaces to kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria initially. Once dry, Microban 24 is effective for 24 hours on bacteria when used as directed. Microban 24 sanitizing spray, bathroom, and multi-surface cleaner.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
Are you registered to vote? Find out how at vote411.org. Don't miss the deadline. Every state is different. Plan to vote on November 3rd or by your state's deadline if you're voting by mail. Vote. Make it count. Go to vote411.org.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie.
Fireworks between the Dodgers and Padres last night. The Yankees are facing elimination tonight. I'll get you updated on the MLB playoffs in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, Will Brinson is a senior writer for CBS Sports, a man who covers the NFL and hosts the Pick 6 podcast, which is a daily NFL podcast that you can subscribe to anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. Bennett, please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar, using food and wine to create memorable times.
Will Brinson, it's your pal Gary. How you been?
Gary, what's going on, buddy? How you doing, man?
I'm hanging in there. I got no big complaints. I'm just trying to get through the days like everybody else. Doing better than the Titans. I guess I'm doing better than the Titans, if you want to know the truth. Give me the latest on that situation. Titans, Bills, scheduled for this weekend. Titans, of course, had another positive test today. When are we going to play that game? Are we going to play that game?
It seems increasingly unlikely, Gary, that they can play it this weekend. I mean, look, you can – you know, I think part of the problem is, and this is something we all have to admit and should have admitted months ago, is that we just don't know – how this virus functions, we just don't know. I mean, and the timing of these tests, we saw that with, like, Stephon Gilmore, right? He was Cam Newton test positive on Saturday. Stephon Gilmore, you know, clears multiple tests Sunday, Monday, and then gets back home after playing against the Chiefs and tests positive on Wednesday. You know, we saw with the Titans themselves, they had all these tests, and nobody in Minnesota, none of the players who were grappling with them on the field for 60 minutes ever tested positive. It is the transmission and the timing of it is all very much unknown. But I do think, you know, that's what makes it difficult for the NFL to go forward with this game. And frankly, if you're the Bills, yeah, it makes you a little nervous to go forward with it too. But you're having an incredible season. If you're Buffalo, you'd almost rather forfeit the game to Tennessee. They're trying to figure out, the NFL, that is, how to handle, you know, these players breaking protocol, how to, you know, investigating the team to see if they broke protocol, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of different layers to it. They want to play the game. I think the NFL is trying its best not to completely alter the, you know, the holistic approach to the schedule right now. But to me, the reality of the situation, Gary, is that what they need to do is admit, okay, you know, we need to look at this, not look at the college football model, but say, that, you know, we need to build in some buys here because we're just going to have to move too many games at the end of the day. It's not going to be simple as sliding stuff around And, you know, you can then potentially shut down the Titans for 2 weeks and say, let's get this all cleared up, and then we come back and play their games. I just think there's so much in flux that they don't know exactly how this is going to play out.
When you say build in some bye weeks, do you mean push back the Super Bowl, or do you mean, like, let's cut the schedule down to 12 games for everybody so that we've got some wiggle room?
Well, so I mean the former, and I think the way you would start it is you hack out the week between conference championship games and the Super Bowl. That's basically a week for media and fans anyway, for players to enjoy being at the Super Bowl. Guess who's probably not going to be at Tampa? Media and fans. I mean, you know, it's Florida, so who the hell knows what's going to happen?
They'll probably want to fill it up.
Right. They're like, we're actually doing a stadium expansion for the Super Bowl. And for free passes for everybody. No, I just think there's going to be less people there. They're going to minimize it. They're going to socially distance it, you know, barring some vaccine that drops in the middle of, you know, a month from now or January, whatever it is. And I think that, you know, because of that, you're fine taking out that week for the season, and you can build in an extra and push everything back. You build in an extra week at the end of the season. And if you have to, if more games are postponed, then you kick the Super Bowl back to the end of the month in February, or put it the 1st of March and you move the playoffs back. We know that Tampa, the city of Tampa and Raymond James Stadium have cleared out about 3 weeks after the Super Bowl is supposed to take place in order to make sure that they have some flexibility with that. And so in my mind, it would behoove the NFL, instead of sort of scrambling and trying to, you know, you feel like a kid building a sandcastle, trying to, you know, like build a wall, you know, like an moat in a wall, and the waves keep crashing over it. Just take a step back, ease back the schedule, and then you'll have more wiggle room. To me, it's a no-brainer.
Right, and like usually when you're contemplating big decisions like that, there's another side or the other side to the argument. What would even be the objection to pushing the Super Bowl back to late February? Like who would care? Who would it hurt?
I don't know, honestly. Right. I mean, I think the NFL probably just wants it to be quote unquote normal, or, you know, as normal as it possibly can be, and that they want to operate under their regular schedule. But I think when you start trying to, you know, force that regular schedule, what you end up with is you're having to make decisions about competitive imbalance, like telling the Titans they have to forfeit the games. And look, I get it. I understand why other teams and players and NFL executives would be mad at the Titans. They have every right to be sort of cheesed off because of if they violated protocols and slacked up and allowed that to happen. But at the same time, you know, we can't be naive enough to think this is the last team in the NFL that's going to face some sort of protocol situation. I mean, there's going to be more coronavirus outbreaks and more COVID-19 outbreaks within these franchises. It's just how it works. I mean, I was looking at the North Carolina dashboard. I've been looking at it daily for months, and it sort of stopped and checked back in. It looks like it's rising a lot. Green Bay, Wisconsin is one of the biggest hotspots in the country right now. And it's not about what people think this virus does, or what people, you know, it's not about your political or social views of the virus. It's about the reality of you can't have an outbreak within one NFL team and play the game. Everybody needs to understand that, and that should be clear after seeing how all these other sports are operating.
People have talked about a possible punishment for the Titans franchise. In your mind, what might that look like?
The forfeiture of games to me seems excessive. Because, you know, you're like, you never even see that for like teams cheating, right? Like the Patriots got popped for Spygate, and, you know, the Saints got popped for Bountygate, and they're not forfeiting games in the middle of a season. I realize that the situations are obviously different. To me, the way you need to handle it is the same way you always handle it. And frankly, I don't think you should put the onus on these players. You know, they go to Montgomery Bell Academy and work out this, you know, private school. I understand the frustration with it. These dudes are players. They're trying to win these games. It's not like they went out to like clubbing because they were off for the week. I mean, they're out there practicing and trying to improve their team and to win football games. That's what you have to expect them to do. I think the onus needs to be on the Titans organization. And John Robinson and Mike Vrabel do a good job building out a football team, and I'm not criticizing for that, but I think there certainly can be some criticism for how they treated the protocols and how they handled, you know, telling their players what to do, et cetera, et cetera. At the end of the day, it's like any business, right? You go talk to the CEO and punish the CEO for what happened. Punish the corporation. Don't go punish the workers.
Talking to Will Brinson from CBS Sports. He's on Twitter at Will Brinson. Yesterday, it was announced that Dwayne Haskins not only lost his job in Washington, but he is now third on the depth chart. How unusual, because I couldn't remember another example, is it for a starter to go not just to backup, but like backup?
Yeah, it's pretty rare, right? I mean, usually you just be benched. I'm sure there's some, and I can't think of them either. I think, Gary, this is very much about Ron Rivera sending a message to Dwayne Haskins. And by making him third on the depth chart, that message is quite clear, right? You're telling him, you know, not only, you know, was your in-game performance not okay, but maybe your preparation wasn't okay. And it seems to almost stem back to a fourth down attempt that Haskins had in the game against Baltimore, fourth and goal on the 13-yard line, you know, and Ron Rivera went for it, and they were out of the game, so it was like, you know, whatever. It was a little surprising he didn't kick the field goal. Haskins rolls out to the right, and he doesn't throw the ball in the end zone. And it's like, what are you doing, man? It's fourth down and 13. You gotta give yourself a shot at the end zone, even if it's into traffic and gets intercepted. And Rivera mentioned that specifically. And I think that you can probably link that back to either in-week preparation, something that happens in practice, whatever it is. But, you know, not knowing that you need to make that throw to the end zone there is something that I think really bugged him. And so I think he's sending a message. That coaching staff, I can promise you, they really like Kyle Allen. They really do. And I say that, people are like, sure, whatever. Right. They like, I promise you, I know that they like Kyle Allen, and they think he can be a spark for them. Alex Smith is still there. That would be an inspirational story. I think it is about sending Dwayne Haskins a message. But if Kyle Allen comes in and plays well and wins him a game, don't be surprised if he's a starter next week, too.
So the Haskins news was yesterday. Then today, Anthony Lynn confirmed that Justin Herbert will be the Chargers starter going forward. Did Tyrod Taylor lose his job because a doctor punctured his lung, or was this always going to happen?
No, Tyrod Taylor lost his job because a doctor stabbed him in the lung with a gigantic painkiller needle.
It's,
and not just a doctor, his doctor, their doctor, like the guy who ostensibly his part of his Hippocratic Oath is taking care of, you know, the players on the Chargers, and he jabbed him in the lung. It sucks for Tyrod Taylor. He's made a bunch of money in the NFL, so he'll survive. But honestly and truly, Anthony Lynn wanted this season to – he convinced the Chargers, and they let him do it, to give him 16 games with Tyrod Taylor as a starter. He believed he could win a lot of football games with Tyrod Taylor. He believed that he could get to the playoffs and make a Super Bowl run with Taylor as his quarterback and running that with a great defense and this run game. But the reality is, you know, they drafted Justin Herbert, you know, in the top 10 picks. He is the future of the franchise. Tyrod's a bridge. And when Herbert was forced to jump in and play and played well for multiple weeks in a row, even if they're 0-3, at that point, you know, I think those promises are off the board. And if you're Tom Telesco in ownership, you say, look, man, I know we told you we'd give you 16 games with Tyrod, but this kid is good. And, you know, if he can play like this right now, he can change our franchise for the long haul, and we have to keep going with him. So I think it's possible we see Tyrod Taylor again, but it's, you know, this is Justin Herbert's team, and he's got to do something. He's got to play pretty bad to lose it, I think.
And I understand, like, now going with Herbert after we've seen what we've seen, but I do think it's probably true that unless Tyrod Taylor gets stabbed in his lungs by a team doctor, Herbert never gets the opportunity. Like, maybe once Herbert was on the field, he was always going to show this, but he might not ever get on the field if not for a punctured lung. It really is just a rough situation for Tyrod Taylor. I don't even know the guy. I feel sick for him.
I know. I mean, it's like he's known as like one of the nicer guys around the league. He's always quiet, works hard. And, of course, you know, he had the situation, too, in Cleveland, where he came in to be the bridge quarterback for Baker Mayfield. And that week two game against the Jets, he suffers that concussion. Baker comes in, lights it up, and, you know, see him. Good luck. Never didn't play again. And the same thing is going to happen to him here, potentially, with Justin Herbert. You feel – again, look, I'll take that bad luck for $54 million, but you do feel bad for him.
You do feel bad for him. I'm talking to Will Brinson from CBS Sports. Lamar Jackson didn't practice today for the second consecutive day with the Ravens. He, of course, is the reigning MVP. It is the first time in his professional career that he's ever missed back-to-back practices in the regular season. Should Ravens fans be concerned?
I think he is being held out for, an abundance of caution,
sure.
Gary. I believe that's what that's what's keeping Lamar Jackson off the practice field. A fun little phrase from these days. I think he'll play. I think you got some concern. You always have a concern when your quarterback's banged up, especially a guy who relies on his legs the way Lamar Jackson does in his mobility and that knee injury. And, you know, it was interesting. They were up big but not huge on Washington. I mean, the game was over, but, you know, they weren't up, you know, 40 points. And we've seen them run the score up with Lamar Jackson in there plenty of times over the last year and a half. So it was a little surprising that in the fourth quarter, pretty early, they pulled Lamar for Robert Griffin III and left him in there the rest of the game. It makes you wonder, could they consider being cautious this week? They are 13-point favorites against the Bengals. In theory, they could trot RG3 out, run their offense, pound the ball with Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, and Mark Ingram, and get out of there with a win. Wouldn't be shocking if he didn't play, but, I mean, Lamar Jackson's a stud. I think he'll probably be out there. It's not a panic thing for the Ravens fans quite yet.
I'm wrapping up here with Will Brinson from CBS Sports. Last thing before I let you go, we've got an interesting Thursday night football game. It's Tom Brady and the Bucs against Chicago in Chicago. Nick Foles getting the start for the Bears. On Brady, after week one or in week one, he looked my age. He looked 43 years old. Since then, Tampa Bay's won three straight games. He threw five touchdowns last Sunday. He's the reigning NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Where are we on the Tom Brady experiment in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, you can go and look at all these quarterbacks who played under Bruce Arians, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Jameis Winston, I think, and Carson Palmer. I believe all those guys qualify for this. They had the most turnovers of their career in their first year in a Bruce Arians offense. Now, a lot of times they were younger, but Carson Palmer was, you know, an older player when he came to Arizona and got paired up with Bruce. What we're seeing, what we saw, in the second half against the Chargers was, man, we're losing. We can't stop anybody today. All right, Tom, let's run this offense and let's no risk it, no biscuit time. And Brady was chucking the ball deep and throwing vertical and looked awesome doing it. Now, Chargers defense couldn't hold up either, but it makes you wonder, like, is this the ceiling for this Tom Brady offense? And if it is, watch out. I mean, if they're healthy, and they're not healthy tonight because O.J. Howard out for the year, Chris Godwin out for this game, Leonard Fournette also out. Missing maybe a couple other pass catchers, depending on late inactive news. Mike Evans should be a go, but I mean, I think they can kind of rev it up. As far as this particular game goes, I'll take the Bucs to roll. I think the Bears are a fraudulent team. Nick Foles didn't play well against Indy. He hasn't won a start since the Super Bowl when he beat Tom Brady, and Tampa Bay's defense, much better than people think. And the other thing with Tampa Bay, their offensive line is playing awesome. They are run blocking. They are pass blocking for Brady all across the board. Tristan Wirfs even making an impact as a rookie. This is a good offensive line. It's a good, well-balanced team. Legitimate Super Bowl contender, and certainly so if Tom Brady's playing like this.
That is Will Brinson, senior writer for CBS Sports, covered the NFL, the host of the Pick 6 podcast, which is a daily NFL podcast you can subscribe to anywhere. You'll subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. You can follow him on Twitter at Will Brinson. Terrific stuff, buddy. I appreciate you being here. I'll catch up with you down the road.
Anytime, GP. You're the man. See you, bud.
All right. You're the best. That's Will Brinson, NFL writer for CBS Sports. When we come back, fireworks last night between the Dodgers and Padres. Manny Machado saying F you to everybody. Yankees facing elimination tonight in prime time. We'll talk Major League Baseball playoffs next. You're listening. The Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Amazon is now hiring near you. We're looking for team members who know that delivering important packages is important work. Ready to work hard to make someone's every day? Ready for benefits and flexible shifts? Immediate hourly roles are available at amazon.com/apply. That's amazon.com/apply. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.
What's up, everybody? This is Rich Kleiman, co-founder of 35 Ventures, alongside my business partner, Kevin Durant. This week on the Boardroom's Out of Office podcast, I detail my own journey and getting where I am today and where I'm still trying to go.
Hold on. You're working on Fade to Black with Hope. Like, what's his leadership style like? You know what I'm saying?
He really made me pay attention to the details in business and how important that is in terms of how your brand is presented. And I mean, so much of my business acumen, I think, is from watching and learning from so much of him. And, you know, like how effortlessly cool he was, and then his instincts with the film, and just like being able to come in and see an edit and know what changes should be made. And you just want to work hard for him. And that's like the best kind of leader. You can listen for free to this episode and more on the Boardroom's Out of Office podcast on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your shows.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 1-800-789-3221. 1-800-789-3221. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 1-800-789-3221.
This is Todd Thomas. You might know me as that one guy always pumping up the crowd at Busch Stadium. Well, even though we're all avoiding large crowds, you can still have lots of fun re-exploring St. Louis responsibly. Pack a picnic and head to Longmire Sculpture Park. Visit the nationally recognized St. Louis Zoo and Sea Lion Sound, or cool down with a trip to Ted Drew's Frozen Custard on historic Route 66. And don't forget to wear your masks. Book your trip today at ExploreSt.Louis.com.
With so many new pet owners, Kezia's Grooming can't keep up.
Kezia's Grooming? Sorry, we'll book solid through the weekend. I can give you a call back, though, if something opens up.
It's time to hire.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. The moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than the other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Attention taxpayers, the October 15th deadline is rapidly approaching. If you are in trouble with the IRS, have years of unfiled returns or back taxes you can't pay, then now is the time to act. Powerful tax relief measures are now in place for anyone facing financial hardship during these unprecedented times. You may be able to reduce what you owe by thousands and end collections. If you are facing wage garnishment, liens, levies, audits, or property seizures, then you need a trusted company like Community Tax, who's resolved over $800 million for tens of thousands of struggling taxpayers. Top rated by the Better Business Bureau and Consumer Affairs with hundreds of five-star reviews, Community Tax knows how to resolve your tax problem with the most savings possible. And if you're a business owner and haven't done your books, we can also take care of all your back bookkeeping needs. See how much you can save. Call 800-804-7445. 800-804-7445. That's 800-804-7445.
All law firms are not the same. There's only one Morgan & Morgan.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer.
Just bought a demon. I'm screaming about the car dealer. Last temptation of Mike, but I'm a car dealer. Jeff Calkins posted a nice column on Joe Jackson, the former University of Memphis star at DailyMemphian.com earlier today. I will talk to him about that and other things a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
The MLB playoffs continue to unfold, and I guess I should update you on the most recent news. That is that the Braves have defeated the Marlins once again, this time
by a score of 7-0. So that is a three-game sweep in that best-of-five series. The Braves are now 5-0 in this postseason. I think they have four shutouts in those five games, and they have advanced to the NLCS, where they will await the winner of Dodgers-Padres. So the Braves have been banged up a lot of the year, like missing key pieces, and yet here they are in the NLCS for the first time since, I believe, 2001. And they didn't just, like, get there. They're, like, dominating people to get there. So congrats to them, to Braves fans, and DeSoto Central High graduate Austin Riley, who, of course, is a big part of that. Like I mentioned, they are now waiting on the winner of Dodgers-Padres, and that got super interesting last night.
Yeah, it did.
So the Dodgers, by the way, are now up 2-0, and they got a closeout situation tonight. The only way the Padres advance is to beat the Dodgers three straight times. Good luck. But last night, you know, the game was available to them, and you get to a point where Fernando Tatis blasts a ball to center. In most ballparks, it's out. It's a home run. In this particular ballpark, it wasn't, because Cody Bellinger robbed it in what was – listen, I think anytime you rob a home run, it's a great catch. But people were like, oh, that's – I wasn't amazed by the catch. It felt like he had it the entire time. It felt like he was tracking it the entire time. And he – I don't know. Like, I've seen some amazing pull a ball back into a ballpark catches. That just didn't feel like an amazing catch.
I agree.
It was just on a big, big stage in a big, big moment, and it was at the expense of Fernando Tatis. But after that is when it got interested. So the guy pitching for the Dodgers at that point was Brusdar Graterol, and he's a reliever who's interesting because he doesn't look like he's trying to throw the ball hard, but then he just hits 100. He's just like, it looks like he's just like playing soft toss with you, but he's hitting 100 consistently. So he starts celebrating because Bellinger just pulled a ball back into the park, and that's good for your ERA, it's good for your team, it's good for everything. And next thing you know, your old boy, Manny Machado, is ready to fight him and all of the Dodgers. Not to mention some of those guys are his former teammate because he spent part of a season with the Dodgers. Who is Manny Machado to get mad at somebody for celebrating when he celebrates all the time, and so does Tatis?
Yeah, I didn't. Did you see Manny's bat flip, by the way?
Yes! Like, you can't bat flip. Like, first off, you can bat flip like that.
The most violent bat flip I've ever seen.
He threw the bat. I love it. But and so let me be clear, and I think anybody who has ever heard me talk, I love all of it. I love emotion in baseball. I love bat flipping. I love Trevor Bauer strutting off the mound when he strikes somebody out. I love it all. My point is this. You can't celebrate the way Manny Machado celebrates and then get mad when somebody else is celebrating. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't even understand.
I'm with you. I was kind of,
yeah, I don't even
not
like,
his best moment.
No, and then, so he's like, F you. And then every Dodger, I think, got an F you back at him. So it made for like a fun, like, baseball needs more of that. I thought it was all rooted in stupidity. Like, who is Manny Machado to get mad at somebody else for celebrating when he just threw his bat after a home run? But, like, whatever. If it leads to emotion and real hatred between those two teams, I'm fine with it. So we got that moment last night, and so we will get Dodgers-Padres game three tonight. Dodgers are favored, -165 on the money line, to go ahead and close it out with Dusty May on the mound. Do you know Dusty May's nickname?
No.
Okay, he's a ginger guard because he's got long hair like Noah Syndergaard, but it's red. So he's ginger.
Okay.
So he's ginger guard. Ginger guard is on the mound for the Dodgers. So they will have a closeout situation tonight. They're favored to win the game, like I said. So assuming they do, we will have Dodgers-Braves NLCS with both teams coming off of sweeps in the NLDS. So that'll be that's the series that, once we got the National League playoffs set the way they were set, the best possible NLCS was Dodgers-Braves. It now looks like we're going to get that.
Story number two.
In the American League, the Astros are in a closeout situation right now. They're up 2-1 in the series, up 7-4 against Oakland. Assuming they hold on, they will advance to the ALCS. Well, they'll be waiting on either the Rays or Yankees, and the Yankees find themselves in an elimination game tonight. Boy, this is the type of thing to get Aaron Boone fired.
Yeah.
You win game one, you get cued in game two, then you lose game three, and now you're down 2-1. Like, I don't know that he'll get fired, but I'll know there'll be people screaming he should get fired if they don't get out of this. Because the best thing you can have in the AL right now is Yankees-Astros. And then I'm a little conflicted on what the best World Series would be. On paper, and I think from a television ratings perspective, it's Yankees-Dodgers because it's New York-LA.
Right.
But Astros-Dodgers would also be awesome because the Astros cheated the Dodgers out of a World Series.
So that's either, a great storyline.
Either long as the Dodgers get there to face either the Astros or the Yankees, we have a really compelling World Series. But you don't want the Rays screwing that up.
Dude, that's a disaster.
You don't want the Rays eliminating the Yankees. Like, I'm a Mets fan, not a Yankees fan. I want the Yankees to win tonight and to win if you get to a game five, because I want what's best and most interesting for baseball, and I don't need to see Rays Astros. I mean, it's fine, but Yankees Astros is like a million times better. So that will be in competition with Thursday Night Football, so overshadowed clearly, but that will be the most compelling game of the night, the Yankees in an elimination situation. Rays Yankees, it's at 6:10. You can watch it on TBS.
Story number two.
So Bryson DeChambeau is playing for the first time on the PGA Tour since winning the U.S. Open last month. And boy, did he pick up right where he left off. Shot a 9-under par 62 today. He's got a one-shot lead over Austin Cook, who was 8-under 63. Austin Cook, that's Little Rock's own Austin Cook.
Okay.
University of Arkansas graduate Austin Cook. And then guess who else is 8-under 63 today?
Who?
HV3.
That's your guy.
Harold Varner III shot 8-under 63. So that's the top of the leaderboard right now, DeChambeau, Cook, and HV3. I saw yesterday Bryson DeChambeau was on the practice range at the Shriners Open. And the way the practice range is set up there, from where he was hitting, it was, first off, from where he was hitting, he was just blasting them over a fence into trailers. And so he backed up. And even where he backed up, it was still 360 yards and uphill to this fence. And he was hitting them over the fence still, flying at 360 yards over this fence. He's operating on another level right now. He's just playing a different sport than everybody else is right now. It is really one of the most interesting things in sports right now is this Bryson DeChambeau experiment. For people who don't know, he went out and put on 40 pounds of muscle, maybe more than that, and just got really, really big. And he just decided, I'm going to put on weight and swing as hard as I can swing and hit the ball as far as I can hit it and then just play the rest of the hole from there. So like, I'm just going to go be longer off the tee than everybody else in theory, and then I'll play however I need to play. And people were a little dismissive of it, but he's consistently been one of the best golfers in the world since the restart of the PGA Tour after the shutdown for the pandemic. He wins the U.S. Open, which is like the last place you ought to be able to win playing the way he plays. I'm just going to hit it, not really worry about where it goes, and then I'll just play it from there. Well, you'll end up in the rough. Okay, I'll be fine. And he was. He was just fine. He muscled it out of the rough and end up winning the U.S. Open pretty easily. It was nothing uncertain about it going into, the back nine on Sunday. Like, he won it, no problem. Here, takes a few weeks off, comes back to the PGA Tour today. Again, shoots a 9-under 62. He is alone atop the leaderboard, and presumably will be there heading into round two tomorrow.
Story number three.
Morgan Wallen has announced that he will no longer be performing this weekend on Saturday Night Live after a video surfaced of him wilding out in Tuscaloosa last weekend, doing shots with people, kissing people, not wearing a mask or social distancing. First up, do you know this person?
I'm a little familiar. I mean, I haven't heard his music, but I know of him, yes.
I think this is the first time I can remember that SNL had a musical guest, and I was like, who is that? I've genuinely never heard his name.
Again, I don't know anything about it, but, like, we have the wolf here in the building, and, like, I hear them. He's, like, this kind of, I think, out-of-nowhere country star that's just kind of gained a big following really quickly.
Usually, like, even if I don't listen to their music, I'm like, well, yeah, I've heard of that person. I'd never heard of this guy. And so the first time I ever heard of him is when it was announced that he's going to perform on SNL. And then it was announced that he's not going to perform on SNL right. because of these. Like, why would he think he could get away with that? I guess people just don't think. Like, I keep asking you, like, why do you think the Titans thought they could practice at Montgomery Bell Academy? And why do you think this guy could just be bouncing around bars in Tuscaloosa and then still be invited to Saturday Night Live? Because even if you don't take the virus seriously, and clearly, like, lots of people in this country don't, you have to know that the people who run Saturday Night Live do.
Are going to,
it is a left-leaning, Trump-hating television show. Like, that's the truth. And they're not going to watch you be popping around bars in Tuscaloosa, right. kissing strangers, not wearing a mask, and then say, yeah, come to 30 Rock and maybe get our entire cast sick. So as soon as those videos surfaced, it became pretty clear, like, they ain't going to let that guy come to New York City. And sure enough, it was announced last night that he is not going to perform on Saturday Night Live this weekend. So missed opportunity for Morgan Wallen.
Story number four.
Congrats to Jonathan Lawson. He is a top 50 prospect in the class of 2021. He has committed to Oregon, where he will presumably play with his older brother, Chandler Lawson. So that's four Lawson brothers, all of whom went high major out of high school, all of whom were like top 150, maybe even top 100. I don't remember exactly where Chandler ended up and where KJ ended up, but like accomplished basketball players. Mm-hmm. Like, that will go down, and I know that people have different weird opinions about this family, but that is...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.